From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua with the next portion of a message called The Lord's Faithfulness. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Rain Without Clouds? Never. The text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Why then do we dread the clouds which now darken our sky? True, for a while they hide the sun, but the sun is not quenched. He will shine out again before long. Meanwhile, those black clouds are filled with rain, and the blacker they are, the more likely they are to yield plentiful showers. How can we have rain without clouds? Our troubles have always brought us blessings. They always will. They are the black chariots of bright grace. These clouds will empty themselves before long, and every tender herb will be the gladder for the shower. Our God may drench us with grief, but he will not drown us with wrath. Nay, he will refresh us with mercy. Our Lord's love letters often come to us in black-edged envelopes. His wagons rumble, but they are loaded with benefits. His rod blossoms with sweet flowers and nourishing fruits. Let us not worry about the clouds, but sing because May flowers are brought to us through the April clouds and showers. O Lord, the clouds are the dust of thy feet. How near thou art in the cloudy and dark day! Love beholds thee and is glad. Faith sees the clouds emptying themselves and making the little hills rejoice on every side.
Lord, so meek and mild.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, Joshua testified, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass." Now an old man, Joshua looked back over his life of service to the Lord. His experiences included the deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, the passage of the Red Sea, the wilderness wanderings, and eventually the crossing of the Jordan and the conquest of the Promised Land. He was able to bear witness that the Lord had been faithful to His word in all those long years. From Joshua's words of testimony, Dr. Cairns is drawing some encouraging lessons for both unsaved as well as for the saints of God. First, we've seen that lost sinners may cast themselves with confidence upon God's offer of salvation in Christ. The Christ who saved Saul of Tarsus and changed him into Paul the Apostle is able to save all who come unto God by Him. Then Joshua's words remind us that the saints may call upon God with the confidence that He will answer prayer. Now to continue this message, the Lord's faithfulness, here is Dr. Cairns.
Anybody who doesn't feel that he or she deserves the full fury of the wrath of God, A, has never understood how holy God is, and second, has never understood how utterly vile their own sinful heart is. But when God works with conviction upon a lost soul, that soul feels like Paul, "I am the very chief of sinners." Now, Paul, in his unsaved days, was a Pharisee, probably a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was, I would say, the greatest young scholar among the crop of young scholars that rabbinical Judaism had then provided. He was a man that everybody looked up to. He fasted, he prayed, he read the Bible, he learned the Bible, he memorized the Bible, he knew it. But he said, I was the chief of sinners. Wicked, vile, guilty, wretched, deserving of the wrath of God. But this is the story of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world for this very purpose, to save even the chief of sinners. Paul spoke of that great saving grace of God in many places. I love the words of the 5th chapter of Romans. Another one of those portions I advise people to commit to memory. Starting off, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so on down the chapter. But in verses 6 to 8, we have the great statement of God's love. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, God has filled his word with statements of his saving grace and purpose in Christ, and to them he adds the glorious promise. I think of Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save to the uttermost. Who is he able to save? All that come unto God by him. Now this is the plain statement of Scripture. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11, come unto me. Come unto me. Isn't that simple? Isn't it plain and straightforward? And yet how many people stumble over the simplicity? It reminds me of that story in 2 Kings chapter 5 when the little maid spoke a word in the ear of the king of Syria about his chief military commander who was, for all his greatness, stricken with leprosy. You must understand that leprosy in the Old Testament was a very different disease from the leprosy that people talk about today. It was an absolutely certain killer. And so she went and said, would God that my master were with the prophet. She told about the great prophet of her country who could speak in the name of Jehovah. Elisha would heal this man. So the king of Syria sent a letter with Naaman. To whom? To the king. But she hadn't said a word about the king. The king couldn't heal anybody. The king was more than a little bit of a rascal. He had no power from God. He had no ministry from God to heal. The message was, go to the prophet. And this man was about to turn back to Syria, still in his condemned to death state, because he went looking for healing in the wrong place. Then when he finally got to the prophet, the message again was simple. Go wash in Jordan 7 times. The prophet didn't even come out to speak to him. He just sent word by his servant, go and wash and be clean. And again, he was about to turn back to his own land, still a leper. Had it not been for the wise counsel of an old man who was there with him. Had the prophet bidden thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? But he's told you, go and wash and be clean. Are you going to stumble over the very simplicity of the gospel? And yet be lost. My friend, there's a great lesson in that for every lost soul. You're smitten with a greater and deadlier enemy than leprosy. You're dying a death that is far worse than physical death. For you're in the death of sin and soon to be in the death of hell. But there's a simple message. Go to Christ. Jesus says, come unto me. How many are stumbling over that? And instead of going to Christ, they go to the baptismal font or the baptismal pool. Or they come to the Lord's table. Or they join a church. Or some other substitute for Christ, they go to the wrong place. Now, it's good to go to church, if it's a Bible-preaching church. But no Bible-preaching church can save you. It's good to be at the Lord's table if you know Christ is your Savior, but coming to the Lord's table will not save you. It's good to be baptized when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, but being baptized in itself will not save you. It's Christ that sinners need. And the glorious promise of the gospel shows its simplicity. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A drowning man cries, Lord, save me, I'm perishing. Isn't that what Peter cried when he found himself sinking in the water? Isn't that what the disciples cried when they found their boat was sinking in the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a horrible storm? Save us! And immediately the Savior did that. And I tell you, my friend, every poor sinner who will come and call on Christ has his pardon. It is promised to him. Pardon, reconciliation, justification. That is the clothing with the righteousness of Christ to make you acceptable to God. He promises you sanctifying grace to conquer your sins and give you a new life in Himself. He promises you fellowship with Him, a place in the body of Christ and in the service of His church. He promises you the assurance of eternal life, and He promises you a place in glory forever. These are the promises of God for all who will have Christ as He's freely offered in the gospel. Now, according to our text, you can trust God's promise. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. When He first promised to save them out of Egypt, did He keep His word? Thank God He did. Moses said, there shall not be an hoof left behind. Not even the hoof of one beast would be left behind. It's all coming out. It's complete salvation. God kept His word, and this is the truth for every lost soul. To recognize that you're still in the house of bondage, you're still under the curse of Egypt, the Egypt of this old sinful world. You're without God and without Christ. But the promise of the power and the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ is still good. If you read Hebrews 6, 18-20, you'll find that God has sworn by Himself, and He has confirmed His promise with His oath, so that He gives you two impossible things in which it is impossible, or two things in which it's impossible for God to lie. When God says something, He can't break His word, for God cannot lie. When He adds to that promise His solemn oath, He cannot break His oath. There are two things in which it's impossible for God to lie. And why does He give you that double-barreled assurance? In order that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. When you come to lay hold of Christ, God gives you a double-barreled assurance that He has given you eternal life. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure though the billows roll. The words of that hymn are based on Hebrews chapter 6. For our anchor enters in within the veil. It grips the solid rock. We can't be lost if we're trusting in Jesus. Why? Because God never breaks His word. Now, that's the warrant that the sinner has to come to lay hold on Christ. If you're in this meeting this morning without Christ, I don't want you to stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. You can go to 100 churches and 100 different religions, and they'll give you their theories and their schemes as to how you can make yourself a better person and how you can set about to please God and how you can grow towards salvation. It is the lie of the devil. You cannot do those things. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, I want to tell you, you come to Him and He'll save you. When will He do it? He'll do it immediately you come. He will not break His word. So our text then would certainly teach us that the lost may cast themselves with confidence on God's promise for salvation. But it teaches a second thing, and that is that the saints may call on the Lord with confidence that He will hear and answer their praying. As Joshua wrote these words, he was not only thinking of the deliverance from the land of Egypt, he was thinking of all that followed. Joshua was a man of prayer. As he looked back over his years in the work of God, he knew that they were years that were marked by the promise of God and by claiming that promise in prayer. Joshua, as a younger man, had watched Moses, his master, plead the promises of God with great effect. I have no doubt that he remembered well. Who could have forgotten it? The scene described in Exodus 17 at Rephidim, when the Amalekites came and they had smitten the hind part, the stragglers, as it were, of the pilgrims of Israel. Now came the great battle. Joshua was the commander-in-chief, and he had to go down into the valley of Rephidim there to fight with Amalek. But as he fought, he could see up on the top of the hill, there stood Moses, the man of God, with the rod of God held aloft in his hands. And when Moses held up his hands, Joshua and Israel prevailed. But when his hands dropped down through fatigue, then Amalek prevailed. Joshua well remembered how Aaron on one side and Hur on the other stood by Moses, and however fatigued and weary the old man was, they held aloft his hands, holding up the rod of God. That day Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. Joshua learned a lesson that day that he never forgot, that the rod of God, that great emblem of God's covenant with His people and God's promise to His people, that great emblem of God's faithfulness to His word, as it was held up to God, there wasn't a power on earth could overcome Him. He learned that day as never before what it was to plead the promises of God. And in his life as the leader of Israel himself, he pleaded those same promises again and again and again. You remember Moses had said in his day, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And now Joshua, these many years later, he says amen to that. There has not failed one thing of the good promise of God. Now let me tell you, you could write that today as freshly as it was written in the days of Joshua. God has never failed to keep His word. Never.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.